such a privilege for me to bring the word this morning. Such a privilege to just share with you guys what's on my heart. So I'm going to, I don't know if we have slides this morning. God is really stripping us this morning of everything that we maybe rely on, to that we think these things are church. If we think a big band or a projector or many people, or if we think that is church, then I think that's what God is doing this morning. He's just stripping us of those things. His presence is what brings us here. His presence is why we gather here. So even if everything of the technical things go wrong, He would still be worthy of our praise and worthy of everything that we have to offer. So the title of my sermon, Mariska, you can chill if it's not there. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's planted by the river. I'm going to speak about a scripture in Ezekiel 47, and God gave me the scripture in the beginning of the year for my year. And it's really a beautiful scripture of what the prophet Ezekiel sees. He's taken up in the spirit, and an angel takes him to the temple, and then he sees in the spirit, he sees this beautiful vision. And I want, as I read this scripture to you guys, allow just your inner painter to paint this picture for yourself, because it's such a colorful picture that is painted here that Ezekiel sees. So I'm reading from Ezekiel 47 from verse 1, and I'm skipping over a few of the scriptures, and then you will see where we're going with this. And there's a river, and I'm going to paint this picture for you out of Ezekiel from verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. Along the bank of the river were many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that everything that moves wherever the river go will live. And there will be a very great multitude of fish because the water go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." And then verse 12, "Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." So we see this quite abstract prophetic picture about the temple and these water coming out of the doors of the temple. And wherever these water go, there's a multitude of fish. And I think you can do a whole sermon, like many sermons on this scripture. There's so much going on in here. But there's many multitudes of fish, of all types of fish. So I believe that's all the tribe, every tribe and every nation will at the end be in heaven. So all these kinds of fish in this water. And then on the sides of the river, we have these trees, and every month they just bear fruit because their water flows from the sanctuary. They're receiving the water that comes out of the temple. And they're evergreen trees. Their leaves don't wither. And then, interestingly enough, in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, we see a reference to the same river. Revelation 22, verse 1, and he showed me, now it's Apostle John, and it's also an angel showing him, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from, now where is it proceeding from? From the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we see almost the same picture being painted for us in the New Testament, of a river that's flowing out of heaven from the throne of God. And then it also goes on, and in Revelation 22, if you read on there, you will also see there's also the tree of life is planted there. And this tree also bears fruit month in and month out, and its leaves can also not wither. So I was asking God, like, "Lord, what do you want to say about this scripture this morning?" And I believe God wants to take us as a church and as individuals to a place of really being planted by the river of God, being planted by the waters of life, so that we can really be trees who bear fruit in and out of season, and that we can be evergreen trees who don't lose our leaves when it's winter outside and in our circumstances. And this river, we must understand this, that as we are standing here, sitting here this morning, right now, there's a river that goes, there's a river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne. And everything that goes where this river goes will live. And this water, the waters of this river, they bring salvation, and they bring healing to the nations, and they bring life wherever they go, this river. And when I asked God, like, how do we stay in this river? And He took me to the word abiding. We stay in the river by abiding. We need to abide in God. We need to abide in the river of God. And go to a place, live in a place that Acts speak about, Acts 17 verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being, or in another translation, we have our whole existence. That is what it means to be in this river, where in Him, everywhere we go, everything we do, when we live, we move, we breathe, it's inside of God. So God is challenging us as a body to go to spiritual maturity. It's really a season that we're speaking about. And I think this is what this river speaks about. I think many of us live lives that we jump into the river on a Sunday and we enjoy the presence and we enjoy God. And then through the week, we're living outside again. And it's really so many of us are living lives that our emotions and our spiritual well-being are so dependent on the physical, so dependent on the seasons that we're in. If we're in a dry season, then our trees don't bear any fruit. When we're in a dry season, then all our leaves fall off. And that's not where God wants us. He's taking us to a place of abiding in the river, so that the water that we receive can be the water of life, so that we can be people who, when everything seems in chaos, when everything is falling apart, we can bear fruit. When everything doesn't seem to make sense, we can still have the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us, because we don't have to produce those fruit in our own strength. We know that our water comes from the sanctuary. Our water comes from the river of life. So, let me just see here. Is it the next? Yeah. So the only way that we can do this is if we're planted by the river. So we see this again in Psalm 1. It's so amazing how scripture just confirms itself. Psalm 1 from verse 1 to 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How amazing is that? We go from the prophet to the Psalms to Revelation, and we see that there's some kind of a principle of being planted by the river of God, and that is the only place where you will be like a tree who brings forth its fruit in season and whose leaves shall not wither. And then I asked God, Lord, let me just say again with this psalm, we see again who are the people who will be like this tree, the people who delight in the law of the Lord, and that's really His word. So people who constantly being filled with the word of God, constantly being filled by His written word, but then also His spoken word to us, His word by His Spirit, people who are so dependent on word from God to live, they will be like these kinds of trees. And then I ask, as I was preparing, this question came into my spirit all the time, but how? How do you stay in the river? Because it sounds so nice and it sounds very like poetic, but what does it really mean to be planted by the river? How do we do that? And then God took me to an unexpected place. He took me to Luke 15. And that is the story of the lost son. And it's the story of these two sons. And God told me that before we can be planted by the river, we first really need to uproot from the rivers that are not of Him. And God just laid a burden in my heart that so many of us here in church, but then so many people in the world obviously are planted by rivers that don't bring life. And we need to uproot our roots from those places before we can completely be planted by the river of life. And obviously it's a process. It's not a, it's as we are maturing, as we're walking with God, we need to constantly be open to the Spirit to show us, Lord, are there still parts of my roots in places that are not bringing forth life? Are there still parts of my roots that are not glorifying you and not bringing life in abundance? So the first one, and I want to go to Luke 15. I didn't type the whole thing out there, but you can turn with me to Luke 15 if you have your Bibles here. It says from verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he spent it all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, we all know the story since we were very small. But I don't think we always do enough introspection to see how this actually applies to us. And I believe that this, I think a good way to explain this is people who are rooted in rebellion. This boy had his roots planted by the river of rebellion. And I think that when we look at the world, many times we think this is how a person looks who walks in rebellion. He's like an ungodly person who doesn't love God at all and stuff. And it is also true. But I think we need to start asking ourselves, aren't there some of our roots, even though we know God, even though we love God, aren't there some of our roots still planted by the river of rebellion? And how would we know this? God has really been, since 2012, when I got spirit-filled and joined this church, God has really taken me personally on quite a journey of sanctification, just cleansing out my spiritual house. Cleansing my house from the things that are not pleasing unto God, from the things that the world acceptable, that the world says these things bring life, these things are the things that will make you popular, these are the things that will make you a significant person. Small things like I had a passion for music, obviously, and for listening to all kinds of music, and God challenged me and told me, what are you putting in? What are you putting into your temple? Is it waters of life or is it waters of death? And God challenged me personally to get rid of those things. And it will be different for each one of us. I'm not preaching that this is the only... I'm calling to you to be sensitive to the Spirit. For what things are defiling your house? It's a place of loving the world and the world's acceptance more than loving God and his acceptance, needing the acceptance of the world. And we were at Convergence, the conference last year, and Retief Berger had an awesome sermon where he spoke about the idols in our lives, and he spoke about those three idols, and he said he thinks that most of the things that we resort to that are not of God come from these three places, and come from a place of love of our own comfort. Yes, Lord, everybody's going to this movie night, and I really had a rough week. I'm really tired, Lord. I need a bit of a rest. I've worked for you all week. I think I really need to go and watch this thing. I know maybe some of the things in there are not really going to glorify you, but oh, Lord, I'm tired. Oh, Lord, I've had a really tough week, so I know you'll be fine with me watching series through the night tonight. Because I'm tired, Lord. I want to be comfortable. The next one, love of acceptance. Everybody's going, Lord. I'm a freak if I don't go. Everybody does this. Everybody I know does this. How can I not? I will not be accepted. People will think I'm weird. I will be rejected. Fear of rejection. The third one, a love of power. So many of the things that we do come out of this place and we don't even know it, but how will I get, even in church, how will I be significant? Will it give me more authority, like in the natural? And then also the love of money obviously comes from this place, it can come from many of these places, but power as well, to look like you're a certain person, to look like you have all, everything together. Actually you don't, but you just don't want to be out of control. You want to show that you're in control. And God has a holy, anger and a holy jealousy for his bride. God does not want to share his bride with the world. God is coming back for a holy and a pure bride. And we need to know that. And we need to ask him to come and show us which places in our hearts does he still want to come and cleanse. Because we can't cleanse ourselves. We can't go into works and try to do this ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. But he needs us to be willing to be changed. So that is the first place I think we need to uproot ourselves from. And then the next one is being rooted in religion. Now that's the oldest son. And I know you all know the story, but I just want to read it again. It fell. Okay, let me just get it again. Luke 15. It goes on to the son came back, the youngest son came back, and there was this whole party being thrown for him, and the father was so excited. And then we see another son. So he called one of the servants, the oldest son, called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. And then we see this verse 28, this word, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might marry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, you who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right, again, then he just goes on there, that your brother would receive the calf. So we see another place that our roots can be in, and it's really a place of slavery. This oldest son, and I use the word religion just because it's also, it's alliteration, rooted in religion. But actually the word is really a slave mentality, slaves in the father's house. And then this beautiful scripture, he taught this module in Bible school when I was in my first year. But in Bible school, this beautiful scripture says, says, many believers move from a place of slavery in the world, of being slaves in the world, to being slaves in the kingdom. And this thing has really been pressing on my heart this last few weeks. I'm just looking at our church and looking at many people and listening to people speaking, and then I hear, I'm on ushering again this Sunday. I need to do this again at church. We have so many things that we have to do at church. And then God just opened my eyes to hear, to see his heart in that place. It's the same father that's having this amazing party for everybody to come into to meet him. And then we're like, now I have to do this thing again, and I have to do this again. And we're not serving out of a place of doing it as a love offering to our Father. We're doing it as slaves. We're doing it because we have to, and because somebody told us to. Yeah, I really feel quite stirred about this thing, and I feel like we get a lot of excuses and we get angry with the wrong people. We say it's the pastor, Alistair and Belinda is sending me emails to do stuff, so now that's why I'm doing it. And it's not coming out of a place of serving our Father. And God just showed me this picture, like in the house, if I go home to my parents, or even in my house with Haynes, there are certain chores that need to be done. If I never wash the dishes, what's going to happen at our house? If I never do the laundry, if I never cook any food, our house is not going to be functioning normally. But why, when we come to the house of God, we just want to sit here and not do anything? I don't think it works like that. I think when you're adopted as a son into a place, you partner with this, you get the same heart. And we need to ask God that. We need to ask him for his heart for this church, and his heart for the nations, and his heart for the kingdom to come. Because if we serve out of that place, then it just comes out of an overflow. And I'm sure it will still be a bit of a burden sometimes. I don't always want to wash the dishes, but I understand why I need to do it. And I'm not angry with Haynes because I have to do it. because he told me to. I do it because I want to do it, like, subconsciously. I want to be the good wife for him. And then I can just testify of that in the church. And because I'm mentioning the church a lot, because this son is the son that was already in the house. It was the son that has already come out of, he wasn't in rebellion, he wasn't out there. He was in the house, he knew the father. So that's why I'm speaking to us about this, because we are in the house, most of us, if we know Jesus and we're planted in this church. And I can just testify, there was a time at the end of 2013 when we just got married. Me and Heinz decided, no, we want to take off a bit from church and we want to not serve a lot in church now. We want to just establish our own marriage and stuff. And then in that time, when I had to do something at church, I can remember so well the burden that it was for me. I would sit there and I would feel like, can this thing just end? I would almost like look at my watch all the time and just wait. And then afterwards, when people wanted to speak to Heinz and bow long chats, then I'm just sitting there irritated. Can we just leave? I'm tired. I want to go home. I wasn't excited about church at all. And then in December 2013, God came to speak to me in Heinz, and he really lovingly rebuked us and told us that our hearts aren't planted in this church and our hearts aren't planted to serve here. And that he wants our hearts to be planted here. And he wants us to partner with the vision of this church and build with this church. And since then, I can't even explain to you just that choice that we made. We didn't do anything much differently. We just decided. We repented. And we said, sorry, Lord, for seeing your kingdom as a burden and seeing your work as a heavy, too heavy load for us. And we repented and we said, Lord, we're willing. We're willing to be involved and we're willing to serve here. We're willing to build with you in this house. And it felt like the doors of the storehouses just opened for us in terms of just joy and abundance in our marriage. And it was just suddenly as if we were really like battling with many things in that time, like with between the two of us as well. And then as we started serving together, we started doing things together in the kingdom. So we would lead the cell together or do this thing together. And suddenly there was just a release of our marriage. There was just such an abundance because suddenly we weren't slaves anymore. We didn't have to do it. We wanted to. We wanted to partner with our Father. And I can just testify of what a blessing that was. And yeah, I think we need to ask God. We see in this son as well. He was in the field as this other son came in, and I think that's also, it tells us a lot. Like, I think we need to understand that we weren't saved primarily, firstly, to do things. Firstly, we were saved to just love our Father and to be in relationship with him. And then to partner with him. God wants to partner with us. He wants to take our hand and serve with us. Me and Al said at this nice chat yesterday, he wants to pack out the cups with us. He's more excited about those cups and that coffee than we could ever be. He wants us to fellowship there. He wants us to come here and he's waiting for us so we can partner with him in this loving relationship and enjoy it with him. Yeah, so those are the two things that I feel. I'm sure there are many other things, and it's a journey as we're maturing. God's going to show us so many things that we need to uproot ourselves from. But I believe for this morning, these two things are applicable for our church that we need to uproot ourselves from. And then as we've done that, and our roots are just ready to be planted somewhere else, God is calling us to a place of choosing to be planted by the rivers of life. And it's a choice that we need to make. And it's also as we choose, God, in by his grace, enables us. So it's also a partnership that he goes into with us. Let me just find this thing. So I want to read us a scripture in the New Living Translation that Ephesians, Paul writes to the church in Ephesians, and listen how beautiful his wish is to them. He says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of his marvelous love. And as I prepared the sermon, I need to repent before you guys. I was thinking, okay, now how do you get your roots planted? And my legalistic, also slavery mindset went, okay, you need to pray, you need to worship a lot, you need to read a lot of Bible. That's how you get planted by the river. You need to serve, you need to do all these things. And then God just like sat there, are you listening to? You're just going exactly, you're saying exactly what you just said people should be uprooted from. You're just saying that again. So, hallelujah for a revelation from God. So he said, how are we planted by the river? We need to be adopted. That scripture that says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. Planted by the river means planted into your Father's love, planted into the love of the Father. And how amazing is that? And we see that again in Luke 15, as the boy came back. The father didn't ask him for a list of things, didn't ask him for the list of, okay, checklist, okay, are you going to do the dishes more? Are you going to help your brother in this? Are you going to do this and this? No, he didn't do that. The boy couldn't even get a word out. The father was running to him and embracing him before he could even say anything. And I believe that that is what God has for us in store for us. Just a willingness to repent. Just a willingness to come back. And then he wants to just take his arms around us and just embrace us in this love relationship with him. Again, at Convergence last year, I really struggled a lot in the worship sessions. I felt that I needed to do so much to get into the presence of God. I felt, oh Lord, I just want to be in your throne room. I want to go into the throne room. But I didn't know how to, what are the steps? Like, how do I get into the throne room? And then the one evening before the worship started, somebody came to me and just gave me a word and says, I don't know what this means, but God just says, just look around you. You're already there. And I was like, okay. And God just came and scratched all my little attempts to come into his presence and to receive his love and to feel his love. He just said, you're already there. Just look around you. And then as we're just going back to this river concept, then I was standing there in the worship and I just felt God just nudging me to just let go of control. And as we are speaking about this river, I think this is such an important thing. We need to let go of the things we're holding on to, the things we're trying to manipulate in our own strength. We need to let go and allow the river to take us. And God just, he was standing there just like nudging me, just let go, just let go, just let go. And I was just started like releasing, just started relaxing and enjoying his presence. And I was really in the spirit. I wasn't even aware of what was going on around me because for the first time in my life, I didn't try to control this thing. I didn't try to do all the right things to get it right. I was just relaxed in his presence. And then as I was praying in the spirit, suddenly I heard myself saying, Abba, 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 Abba. And my spirit, I know what happened there now, was that I received the spirit of adoption. God took that spirit of bondage again to fear, bondage and fear that I'm going to do it wrong. And he planted the spirit of adoption into my spirit. And my spirit man couldn't help but scream out, Abba Father, because Abba means Papa, Daddy. And suddenly my spirit just responded to that. And I think, I know that when we understand that, that our roots can really then go down deep into the soil of his marvelous love. We don't trust his love. We don't trust that it's really as safe as he says it is. So we keep our roots just a little bit like tucked up. And God is saying, let go. Receive my love. Trust my love. It is what I say that it is. You can trust me. And then, lastly, I'm taking us back to Ezekiel 47. Such an interesting scripture for me that God showed me somewhere last year, and I never read this, I never saw this. But I think thirdly, now we've uprooted from the places where God doesn't want us to be rooted in, and we've rooted into his love. And we've received this abundance of his love. But then what needs to happen? The scripture says, it's speaking about this, about the river and about all the fish in the river, and that everything that goes wherever the river goes will live. But then it says in verse 11, but its swamps and marshes will not be healed. and they will be given over to salt. And I thought, what is a swamp? And then I remember, do you guys remember Shrek? He lived in a swamp. Swamps are not nice places. A swamp, I read about it on Uncle Google told me that a swamp is a place where there's an overflow of water, so the river was lifted up a lot and there was a lot of water. And then when the water level goes down again, there are places where some of the water got left behind. So those water, that place had an inflow of water, but there's no outflow. And what happens, does the scripture say, with the water of life, the living water comes into this place, but if there's no outflow, then the water, it will be given over to salt, and there will not be healing there. And it's such a powerful principle that in the spiritual, it works the same as in the natural. What do you see when you see a swamp? I see mosquitoes, and I see those yucky green things on the water, and I smell that it's really stinky, and the ogre likes it there, so obviously it's dirty there. So God is challenging us when we've been planted. And so now it's not out of a place of works. It's not out of the slave mentality of I need to do these things. But after we've been planted by the river of life, the next step is that we need to start serving, into giving into the kingdom, getting an outflow. And that's not obviously so comfortable always. It's not obviously so, it's not what we would like to just be in our inner room and just receive this amazing anointing and receive the presence of God and in the worship come here and worship and enjoy God. But then that it stops there almost. And I spoke to a girl this weekend in Potch, and she's really an amazing singer, and she has really anointing to sing. And I told her, why don't you lead worship? And she just says, it's much nicer, like, down, not leading. It's really, like, a lot nicer to not have to lead. It's nice to just be able to sing down there. And obviously it is. There's no pressure. Nobody looks at you. Nobody expects anything of you. But they will not come life if you don't start giving the things that God has imparted into you. So I want to encourage you, and it's so amazing to be planted in a church with places where we can serve, practical places where you can bring that which you have received, your bread and your fish, you can bring them, and they will be multiplied and used here. Whatever your heart is, and many times we don't know what our passions are, we don't know what we're good at, and then just start giving somewhere. And I promise you, God will start shaping in you what giftings He has placed in you. And I can just also testify of that, just the blessing that we walking in since we really started to serve. And then I want to conclude with Ezekiel 47 again. I hope after this sermon you know what it says in Ezekiel 47. I want to read you the beginning of the scripture. I want to read something to you that's so exciting and so amazing. It says in the first verse that he brought him to the river and he saw the water flowing out of the temple. And then from verse 3 he says, "And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits." Now my very clever husband said that is 450 meters. For you who don't know that. 450 meters. So he measured 450 meters and he took Ezekiel through the water, and the water came up to his ankles. And then he measured another 450 meters or 1,000 cubits, and then the water came up to his knees. And then another 450, and then the water came up to his waist. And then again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And we read the book of Reinhard Bonnke, that Evangelism by Fire, and Reinhard says Ezekiel received a swimming lesson. Because imagine, just see in your mind, almost 500 meters. At the end of 500 meters, it was just by his ankles. So it was a very small increase for that first 500 meters. The next 500, it raised up more. It came up to it went from ankle to knee level. And then another 500, and the momentum starts building, and it comes up all the way to his waist. And then suddenly, just another 450 meters, and he can't even stand in the water. The water is so powerful that you need to swim. And what does it mean to need to swim? you don't have the security of the ground under your feet. You need to lift up your feet. And God is calling us to that place. And it's just what I felt God saying for this morning. He knows and you know where each one of you are. In what part of the river? Are you still just entering the river and the water is by your ankles? Or have you been starting to go deeper and it's coming up to your ankle or to your knees and to your waist? Or have you been swimming in the water for 50 years already? God knows where you are. But for each one of us, doesn't matter where we are, God is calling us deeper. He's calling us a little bit deeper. God never throws us in. He didn't throw Ezekiel in to the place where the river was so deep that he couldn't swim. He took him in bit by bit. He took him in and the water could rise and he could get used to it. But we need to have an attitude of wanting to go in. And many times God has shown me this vision of me, the river, and I'm in the river, but I'm holding on to something on the side because I'm so scared of losing control. And God will never force me to lose control. He's a gentle God. He needs me to let go. He needs us to trust him enough to let go and to be taken, swept away by the river. And it really just practically means a lifestyle in the presence of God, listening to his voice, living and abiding inside of him constantly. Being so close to him that his voice and his presence is more tangible to us than everything else that is in the natural. Lord, thank you that we can ask that you would let our roots go down deep into the soil of your marvelous love, Lord. We just receive your love, Lord. We just receive your fatherly love towards us, your acceptance, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Week that's coming, Lord. Thank you that we can abide in you and that we know that you abide in us. We just choose, Lord God, to be inside of you, Lord, and may it be true in this week that in you we would live and move and have our being, Lord God. We know that that is the only place where we find fulfillment. We know that that is the only place where everything makes sense. That we're just choosing to position ourselves inside of you this morning and to position our whole week inside of you. Thank you that I can just pray that you will open the eyes of our understanding, that you will open ears right now to hear your voice in this week, Lord God. That people will be able to hear you and experience you and know that you are close, Lord. We speak to every hindrance, every voice of intimidation, every voice telling us that we're not good enough and that we don't have what it takes. We just silence those voices in the name of Jesus Christ. And we receive your love and we receive your presence into this week. We thank you, Lord God.